Welcome to the Enneagram Global Summit, where top experts are sharing key insights that illuminate the nine essential pathways to your true nature. Share this event with your friends and family, and come join us on Facebook at the Shift Network. And now your host, Jessica Dibb, founder of the Inspiration Consciousness School.
Welcome to the Enneagram Global Summit 2016. Nine Essential Pathways for Transformation. This session is entitled The Enneagram as an Entry into the Infinite, and our teacher is going to be A.H. Amos, who we call Hamid Ali. Hamid was born in Kuwait in 1944, and at the age of 18, he moved to the United States to study at the University of California in Berkeley to work on his Ph.D. in physics. This was a turning point in his life and destiny that led him more and more into inquiring into the psychological and spiritual aspects of human nature. His interest in the truth of human nature and reality resulted in the creation and unfoldment of the Diamond Approach. The Diamond Approach is a path of wisdom and an approach to the investigation of reality and work on oneself that leads to human maturity and liberation. He has authored several books about spiritual realization, including the Diamond Heart series, The Pearl Beyond Price, The Void, The Unfolding Now, and The Point of Existence. Thank you, Hamid, for joining us. We're really happy that you're here.
And I'm happy to be here again.
Well, for those that have either been following these summits for the last 2 years and now into the third year, or if you're joining us for the first time, Hamid has had a very interesting unfolding of logos, the logos of his talks about the Enneagram. The first year it was about the original purpose of the Enneagram, and the second year it was about the Enneagram as a map for non-dual consciousness. And this year, we're going even further, the Enneagram as an entry into the infinite. And I am truly excited about this, Hamid, from the perspective of boundless realization and ultimate actualization for a human being and for reality, but also just because each year the intersection of understanding between quantum physics, for instance, and spiritual realization, and even our understanding that what we thought of as infinity was even a limited version. It was a finite version of infinity, and now we're seeing that it's even more multidimensional. So I thought it would be helpful if you would share with us what your perception of the infinite is.
Yeah, actually the question of the infinite is an interesting question. Because there are many conception of it and different spiritual teaching, although in general they agree, but sometimes they differ slightly in what they mean by the infinite. So because of that, I work with infinite to mean various things at different stages of spiritual awakening. So we could talk about the different meanings, and
yes,
which one that the Enneagram addresses most easily or more readily than
others,
because some of them are Enneagram is not as easy to reach, but some notion of the infinite Enneagram is a very direct tool to it.
Yeah, so why don't you talk about the level of the Enneagram? I mean, you were saying that the infinite can be understood in different levels of development in different ways. So how does the Enneagram, what level or entry point does the Enneagram give us into the infinite?
Well, first of all, I mean, the Enneagram take us into the infinite when it take us to the spiritual level. As long as it stays on the level of typology and psychological patterning, it is not really being used to reach the infinite, for the Enneagram to become a tool for the infinite, we have to go all the way to the spiritual levels. And the spiritual levels, of course, there are many of them, but one of them is the virtues, and the other one is the holy ideas, which is a larger view from which the virtues arise. There are other Enneagram, like Enneagram of contemplation, things like that, which also deals with the infinite. But I think that is most accessible, and it's sort of similar to what we discussed last year, which is the Enneagram of holy ideas, because that gives good understanding of how to reach the kind of infinite that is most common in mystical teachings. Because some of the other kinds of infinite, they're not that common. They're esoteric even in mystical teachings. Well, for instance, I'll give you an example. You know, by infinite, most people think infinite in spatial or temporal terms, right? Infinite means it's vastly extending, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has no end in space. And vastly extending in time, so no end in time. So some people think of infinite that way, you know, because we tend to think in physical metaphors. Our brain is hardwired to use physical reality to describe our subjective or spiritual reality. So infinity is frequently seen in spatial and temporal terms. But that is one meaning of infinite in mysticism, right? Which is what's called boundless, meaning has no bound, and no bound means no space or time. But there are other meanings of boundless or infinite. And I think, for instance, when the infinite is referred to as endlessness, you know, endlessness. Gurdjieff, for instance, who was one of the people who worked on the Enneagram, will talk about God as his endlessness. Right? And some of the teaching, like the Kabbalah teaching, when they use the word infinite, like Ein Sof, they call it, no, Ein Sof means the infinite. I mean, that's the usual translation. But the Ein Sof also means no end.
Mm.
Right? And no ends, so no end or endlessness does not say anything about size or,
mm-hmm.
you know, extent and time, but meaning there's no end in the way it manifests.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it can be experienced in endless way, in infinite ways. So infinity can mean the infinity of ways that the source, the spiritual source, can be experienced. Like, regardless how we experience it, we never exhaust it. And also, sometimes, the infinite is mean it has infinite qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no end to pure qualities of the infinite. Each one of them is infinite, right? And meaning there's no end to how much, like infinite love. What does that mean? Infinite love does not necessarily mean size, infinity extended in space. Infinite love means its depth is infinite, no end to it, and nothing stops in its way. So that's another meaning of infinite, but that is a quality of our spiritual nature that is infinite in its own, and the infinite, the truly infinite true nature or spiritual nature, has many of those qualities, maybe infinite, and each one of them is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So infinity within infinity. And so all these are different meanings, really, of the word infinite. So it's good that the listeners first recognize that when they read a book or hear a teaching about the infinite, they should not assume that they really understand what the speakers talk about, because they might mean infinite in one of those meanings. And there are others. I'm only mentioning some of them. So infinite can be in many ways. The most common one that is used in mysticism is infinite in the sense that when you experience it, you feel you are infinite, you are unbounded, right? That your nature or your spiritual nature or your being is unbounded. And that, you know, is usually seen as the nature of what's called unity or oneness or non-duality. That's the nature of the consciousness or the awareness or the spiritual nature that manifests as a non-dual experience or as a unity of being or as a oneness of everything. So that infinity and the lies of those kind of experiences are a result, are the outer expression of that infinity,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it's unbounded in all ways.
Mm-hmm.
So the Enneagram, none really of the holy ideas or the virtues or any of the Enneagram I know actually there is no point that is referred to as infinite that way in the Enneagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is implicit in the unity or oneness or non-duality that is expressed, for instance, in the holy ideas or in the,
mm-hmm.
in the contemplations.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say that if you really can experience, if you can use the Enneagram, whether the virtues or the holy ideas, to find an entry into the spiritual nature, right, then you find an entry into the infinite, which then can manifest, of course, in the various experiences that are allowed by the what's called the holy ideas, which means the description of the holy source, the holy reality.
So Hamid, I wanna expand on that idea in a moment that reality, that if we can find an entry using the Enneagram, if we can find an entry into spiritual nature, then we find an entry into the infinite. I want to expand on that in a minute, but I just want to circle back first and say that as I'm listening to you, I am aware of the truth of what you said, that I think most people perceive infinity as either the boundlessness of spatial and temporal reality becomes boundless, or then there's no space or all space or no time or all time, and the experience of being unbounded. I think those are the ones you most commonly experience. The two others that you named, it's really fascinating to me, the sense of endlessness that both Kabbalah and Gurdjieff and others have mm-hmm. talked about, that there's no end in the way it manifests. So you're really talking about a kind of endless generativity, you know, a kind of endless creativity, as it, sort of the nature of the creative life force itself is endless.
Yeah, endless potential. Yeah.
Yes, endless potential. And then, and I don't think everyone is always as connected with that, and I just wanted to really bring that out because I think it's going to help us as we're listening to you feel more dimensions.
The endless potential, which means an endless ways of awakening, endless ways of enlightenment,
is an
esoteric knowledge within mysticism. I mean, if you think mysticism as the esoteric part of religion, this kind of endlessness is esoteric within mysticism, and meaning only some mystic or some mystical schools, you know, address it or talk about it, but most don't actually, because not what commonly arises when one lets go of the ego or the self.
Right, and so, you know, because in a sense we could say that, you know, Christ wasn't a Christian. He was just, he found a way of enlightenment or a way of awakening, but that each part of creation, each being, there's endless ways to awakening, and so there's an infinite number of faces of God or faces of enlightenment that are completely unique. And
yeah.
I do,
yeah.
I think
like
that's...
Christ consciousness is a kind of enlightenment. But that is, the experience of Christ consciousness is not the same thing as the experience of Buddha nature.
Exactly.
They're different. However, they are both true nature. They are both the spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
They are different. And you can say there are many of those. So that's one meaning of endlessness or infinity that is rarely contemplated. And most of the time, you know, it's not necessary in some sense because most people want to get to any way of experiencing the infinite. If they just experience boundlessness, that'll be great, wonderful, because that'll bring freedom and liberation. And that's, you know, that's the main impetus. You have to be, you know, sort of resting in that boundlessness of your own, or non-duality for some time to begin to contemplate, well, maybe it'd be interesting to look at other ways.
Right. You know, it does seem to me, though, that in the 21st century, with the internet sort of being a representation of the internet, if you will, you know, collective consciousness, there is more of a, I want to say almost a radical notion that the individual personal essence is going to have its own unique manifestation of enlightenment. And it just seems like more and more people are interested in that. So this whole, the way that you're articulating this aspect of infinity, I think could be pretty provocative for a lot of people in the 21st century in a good way, you know, that it's an invitation for them to trust an impulse that's already happening within them.
I think one thing, you know, to, you know, take what you're saying is that the internet and the communication age is the fact it makes all teachings available. So all possibilities that have been discovered by humankind are available for the one who is interested. And if, you know, in the old days, people try to think that each one of them is, as they're all the same, that they're just talking differently. But that's a philosophy that's been abandoned, you know, by the end of the 20th century. And now we're open to the possibility that maybe everybody is true and everybody is different. Which is sort of, you know, morally is the way of the 21st century, where what's called identity and difference have no problem. We can be one, but we can be different.
Right, beautiful. And so, and then this other kind of infinity that you described too, I find this even more fascinating, is the idea of infinite qualities, that there's no end of the qualities, and that is both speaking to that each quality that exists in and of itself is infinite.
Yeah.
But then also that there are an infinite number of qualities. Like, in other words, qualities can give rise to other qualities, or infinity can just keep giving birth to qualities that maybe we don't even know about yet, you know?
Like for instance, you talk about the quality of intelligence, for instance.
Yeah.
And you say it's really infinite. Well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see, your intelligence has nothing to do with size or shape or anything like that. And so if to a nation is infinitely intelligent, what does that mean? You see, that, first of all, will if the spirit is infinitely intelligent, it will challenge some of the modern theories that exist and many of the new approaches of what's called AI, artificial intelligence,
mm-hmm.
which is trying to make a computer that will be intelligent like a human being. But if human being intelligence is intelligence of the spirit, how can there be a computer? Because it has to have infinite intelligence.
Right.
And, you see, so it will have a practical implication, because it will tell the scientists, well, you know, you can't really build the computer to be intelligent the way human beings are intelligent, because the intelligence of a human being comes from divine intelligence, and that's infinite of its possibility. And that infinity is, again, infinity of potential, but infinity of how intelligence can function. So intelligence can you see it as a quality? And if you see that, it will bring challenges to many of the ideas that are prevalent these days and attempts and all, which are good. I'm sure they will lead to some good thing. But it will also say that you cannot really, a computer can never become conscious the way a human being is.
Mm-hmm.
That's already puts a limit in an AI, which some of the mathematicians and physicists are coming to see, you know, but it's still, you know, the beginning of that. And some of the people in artificial intelligence are still, you know, committed to the idea that if our computer is complex enough, it will become conscious the way a human being is conscious.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's a matter of complexity, not seeing that it's not a matter of just complexity. There's an organic kind of infinite intelligence to life that it doesn't come by adding more things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's taking us to a whole other area.
Right.
We want to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we have an infinite number of things we can talk about, and there are endless possibilities here. So, yes, that it's not about adding other things. It's about actually... So I'm thinking about that mathematical concept where you can actually only approach zero. You can never really get to it, because in the infinite, everything is going to keep being divided into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller particles, and it will be infinitely divisible. And so the only way you can really get to infinity is to keep going deeper, in a way, to fall into a deeper multidimensionality, which itself has infinite possibilities. So I'm thinking that when you were describing this infinite quality, the part of infinity that's about infinite qualities, would it be truthful or fair to say that right now, for instance, we could, even the best, most awakened conscious beings, whatever, could recognize certain qualities of existence that are inherent, but it may be that because qualities are infinite and there are infinite qualities, that there are more qualities that will arise in reality that we might not be able to see yet, or might not be visible or palpable or experienceable yet.
Yeah, that's not only that, which means There's no end to the discoveries we will make. Mm-hmm. The human race is in the middle of discoveries. And that spiritual tradition haven't discovered all that can be discovered about spirit.
Mm-hmm.
No one tradition can exhaust that already. You see, if you recognize that, you will see that no one spiritual teaching can claim they got the truth, the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole truth hasn't been discovered yet, and because there's no end to it. It can never be discovered completely. So no one teaching can hold it all.
Mm-hmm.
They can hold the view, the idea, that it's infinite. But that doesn't mean they know all the everything possible in the infinity.
So, Hamid, so would a corollary of this be then that enlightenment is not a state of that you get to, but it's more an orientation of how we are present to each moment, because each moment is infinite and there are endless possibilities, so there's no one place to get to, there's only sort of an orientation?
Well, I mean, it can be, I mean, depending on the teaching, it could be either one of those and other possibilities, both and other possibilities too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, enlightenment for many teaching is a certain state you arrive at, like non-dual reality or
mm-hmm.
pure awareness or infinite love, all of that. So people talk about, you know, enlightenment that way. But another way of seeing it is that when you're enlightened, you realize you stay humble. Because you realize that that doesn't mean you exhausted all of reality. You don't know everything about this, the mystery. The mystery has a lot more secrets to it. So that makes enlightenment a beginning of a journey instead of an end. It's
mm-hmm.
a beginning of another journey. So in that sense, it's an orientation. It's orientation to in the mystery, that the truth or the infinite cannot be exhausted into what we can learn about it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So enlightenment becomes now a life of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you'll never discover all of it. So because you're never going to discover all of it, you don't have the goal to get someplace.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
See? Because you know there's no end, so you can't arrive at the end. So the question of ending is dropped. But that doesn't mean one doesn't need to practice, doesn't need to use method like the Enneagram, because you have to have an entry into this mysterious truth that we're calling spirit or spiritual nature. Because it doesn't exist, that infinity is not in the cadence we're talking about, is not an ordinary experience. Although ordinary experience is infinite too, there are infinite variations of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I guess that's not what you meant in your conference when you talk about the Enneagram as the entry into the infinite.
Right. So let's come back to that. I mean, I don't want to. I would not want to be reductionist here and reduce it. But I can't help but when you say, for instance, endlessness and infinite. Or endless potential in a way, I can't help but think of sort of the 7-point, or if you talk about infinite qualities and like infinity within infinity, you know, I can't help but think about like the 4-dimension. So it just makes me wonder, do you experience that each Enneagram point can usher in an entry or create a doorway towards the infinite?
Well, each one of them, if you get to the source of any of the types, to the spiritual source of any of the type, it will take you to the spiritual nature. And the spiritual nature, of course, has infinities and can be discovered in many ways. And the Enneagram, the way I know it, does not exhaust all these
mm-hmm.
possibilities. But it does help you get into enter, you know. And then it's up to you then what you discover.
So, Hamid, could you share what you see as some of the most common entry points from the Enneagram? For instance, are there certain types or certain domains of the Enneagram that are more accessible entry points to the infinite?
Well, I think the most accessible in the sense is the easiest for a human being to relate
mm-hmm.
to, although it's emotionally difficult, is point 9, which is considered, of course, the origin of the whole Enneagram. Point 9, which is where the spiritual realization is considered as holy love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And holy love basically means recognizing that the infinite is in the infinite in its goodness. Holy love means the goodness of the infinite. That it is good, and the goodness of it is what a human being experiences love.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is being good to you in a genuine way, you feel loved. But that's because of, that's a term, English term, you know, goodness. Plato, as you know, called the infinite the good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Plato has his Platonic ideas, and the source of them is the good, which is the ultimate, you know, Platonic idea, you know, for him. So the infinite is the good. So the Enneagram talk about the holy love, and the holy love is not, you know, like emotional love the way we think about it. It's more like, if you really feel the goodness of spirit, you can't help but love it, and you can't help but love.
Mm-hmm.
You will see how love is really underlies life as a whole, and underlies everything in the whole universe. The whole of creation is the act of love. And although there are many troubles and throughout history and all that, the fact that there is something is an act of love. And in fact, if it wasn't for this love, all the trouble in the world pales, because think of it this way: with all the trouble, with all the violence, with all the hatred, we're still around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think about that when people said, well, you know, why do you say that true nature is fundamentally good when there's all this trouble, people exploiting each other, raping each other? I said, that's true. If that's happened and throughout history, the fact that we're still around.
Mm-hmm.
We're still around, and some of us do good. What makes us keep going? If we just had badness, not goodness, we would have destroyed each other a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
We would have destroyed ourselves. So there's something fundamentally good that keeps life going, regardless of what happens. So, and I'm mentioning, you know, point 9, which has to do with love, because the core of that type is love, generous love, because it is what makes the entry easier. The more we recognize the goodness or the lovingness of the infinite, or if we have a taste of it coming from outside, from somebody or from an organization or from oneself, the easier for us to open up to the infinite and its mysteriousness. So love is really it's amazing, its effect in people. Now, for instance, I'll give you an example. Like in February, you know, I taught a retreat of the Holy Ideas to a group of people, you know, one of our groups, you know, a colleague of mine. We decided it's time to teach them the Holy Ideas, because we've been teaching them about boundless true nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We thought, well, the holy idea is a good way to really approach that. And although we were, and of course, to access the holy ideas, like holy truth and holy love and all that, is you have to go through a very difficult thing in oneself. And I think for people who've read my book, you know, they will know you have to go what I call go through what I call delusions. You know, you have to go through difficulties, very specific difficulties, and reactivity to hide the difficulties. So at the core of them, each type is a very difficult state from early childhood when we felt limitation in that goodness, when you felt disconnected from that goodness. And that creates a very difficult place to, you know, to approach in oneself, and everybody's trying to run away from it. That's what I call specific difficulty, and each type experiences it slightly differently, depending on the type. And but the interesting thing, you know, that, although we were dealing with things like, you know, guilt and disconnection and alienation and inferiority and fear and all of that, the room became more and more suffused by love. Love was the energy that was being generated more and more and more. You know, so the goodness of the infinite is infinitely more powerful than all of these things. So I thought that was a very interesting observation. Although we were not teaching them only about love, we're teaching about many things. But love, their hearts, is what opened more than anything else. Although we're teaching the holy ideas, which is the perspective of the mind of the Enneagram, the enlightened mind of the Enneagram. The result of it is an enlightened heart, the love that came out and filled the whole auditorium and overflowed, and people were full of love and talking about difficulty, and then talk about how much love there is in the room, which is, so that's why I'm bringing that point first, because I think the more we recognize the inherent goodness and at the very source of reality, which meaning realizing the infinite goodness of the infinite, the more we have courage, we have trust, we have confidence, we have faith to be open up, to not to go through the difficulties, not to give up, not to lose hearts, you know, not to believe the confusion will last forever, not to think that the abuse or the trauma is going to control us forever. You see, that goodness has an infinite power of healing and resolving.
Beautiful. I mean, it would be really wonderful if we might be able to look at one or two other entry points that are more accessible in the Enneagram for the infinite.
Yeah, so the other way, the other one that is also accessible to the infinite is point five, for instance. Point five is, in some sense, it's difficult, but because it deals with the infinite as a boundlessness, as meaning one is not bounded, right? That when we know our true nature, there is no boundary around us, and that is the infinity of extension, of going for, of being infinite in extension, and which is the infinity that most people can relate to, meaning have no limit to my size or my temporal existence. It leads to the infinity of that true nature is infinite in time and space, even though it is beyond time and space. So the holy idea of of 0.5, for instance, has two terms that I use. One of them is holy omniscience, one of them is holy transparency. And holy omniscience means it is the knowledge of God, God's mind. And God's mind is infinite, includes everything in it, right? So, meaning if you really understand, if you have an entrance into God's into that holy idea, you get into God's mind, which means you're realizing the that all the infinite things are all there. But the holy transparency is the entry point, because holy transparency means each of us individually are not separate from anybody else or from anything. That the separateness is a delusion, is an illusion. So that becomes one possible entry point, and it is actually an entry point that many teachings use.
Mm-hmm.
Is to work with the sense of separateness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we believe because we are individual, we are an bounded entity. That's a belief many people have. Of course, other types have. But it comes from 0.5. And that's why 0.5 tend to be isolated, you know, and they tend to withdraw and all of that, because they believe they can. They believe they are an independent, separate entity apart from everybody else. And it's not easy, of course, to undo that in one's personality, but all spiritual teachings are working to undo that. All spiritual methods are attempt to go through or let go of the isolation, of the sense of self that feels it exists independently on its own. And so that's one of the easiest, actually, the Enneagram to at least understand, to have a sense of recognizing what that means. Because for most people, it is natural to believe, you know, since you grow up, well, you look at things physically. Your body is separate from other bodies, so you believe you're a separate entity. And that forms one's identity. So one's identity becomes, you know, an independent, separate, isolated identity. But if you really begin to look at that, if you study that fixation well in yourself, you realize that the sense of separateness is a belief, is an idea. It doesn't come from direct experience. If you really experience things without the belief and the idea, you'll see there's no separateness. And if you see that there is no separateness, then if you're not separate from anything, from your salon, like separate, for instance, in your room, and you don't feel separate from the chairs and the walls and the books and other people, right? Then you're not bounded by your skin or your ideas of where your being ends. You see, being, you know, permeates, pervades all of those. And those are not separate from other things in the world. So nothing in the world is separate from everything, from anything. And that lack of separateness basically means boundlessness, means infinity.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, so the working through the separateness becomes an entry point into infinity.
Mm.
You see? So that's one of the easier infinities to get into by going through. And that's why I say this is the kind of mystical experience that's most common in spiritual teaching, because it is actually the most characteristic mystical experience in all traditions, which are that everything is one. But what does that mean, everything is one? I mean, they're not separate.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they disappear, you know, doesn't mean there's no distinction, no uniqueness, but it means the separation between them is Taurus is not a disconnection. It's not a wall. It's a permeable membrane, which is mostly empty. Mm-hmm. Just like our atoms are mostly empty. So even physically, using science, we know that our body is mostly space, empty space, right?
Mm,
so
yes.
Our skin is mostly really empty space.
Yes.
You know? So our sense that we end is our skin is because we cannot look with a microscope. If we look at a microscope, we don't feel, we don't see that we end someplace. You see, and so anyway, that's it, scientifically. But spiritually, usually one works with their beliefs about themselves and their history and how they developed to be an individual. And if you work through all of these until you get to the point, finally, the idea that you are a separate entity, and see that is just a belief, it's just an idea, and that you can let go of that, you enter the infinite.
Mm.
It becomes an access to the infinite.
Beautiful, Hamid. Well, obviously we could talk about all of these infinitely. This might be stretching it a little bit, but I just personally really would love to hear from you about the endless infinite piece, and also the endless or infinite qualities. Do you see that there would be, for instance, certain points on the Enneagram that would be entry points to the experience of endless potential or, endless infinite creations? Do you see that there are certain points on the Enneagram that would be close entry points to infinite qualities?
Well, I mean, you can say a thing like that. I mean, point three, for instance, is holy hope, or it has to do with generativity. It actually has to do with how things happen in the world. But when you get into the spiritual nature, you see that how things happen in the world, that they are generated. They are not things that don't happen. Just like how on a movie screen, the movie is, although it seems things happen, but they're all generated by the light that is changing. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if we understand point three, we see the generativity of two natures. It's always generating reality, but each instant is generated slightly different from the one before it. So it appears that things are changing or moving and all of that, while it is an infinite generativity. So that, if we hook in with that holy idea, we see the infinite potential.
Mm-hmm.
You see. Now, that's point three. Point four, however, does it in a different way. I was talking about point five, about how we are not separate from each other, right? I call that horizontal infinity. Right. Point four talks about vertical infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that we're not only not separate from each other, we are not separate from the holy origin. That's the word for the holy origin, which means the source of our source, our the spiritual source or true source of all of reality. So point four deals with the disconnection with the source, not disconnection from others, but disconnection from our source. So that means we as an individual are one, united with the source of everything. And that takes us to infinite depth. we see the infinite depth of our nature. So that's an infinity that God has no end of depth. Now, what is depth? Is it space? Spatial depth? There is spatial depth in the sense, you know, you could look, you know, three-dimensionally, you say, deep, things are deep, and look into space, and then it's infinitely deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, depth can be a feeling. There's no depth, no end to it in terms of depth. But both of those are incorporated in our experience of the holy origin, that we as an individual are one, completely one, with this, with the origin, which is endless, and how deep it is. And the interesting thing about the origin as depth, now when you get to the depth, when, if you really get to the depth of our true nature, the depth turns out to be what's called emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
And emptiness is basically unobstructedness, meaning there's nothing in the way. There's nothing there, so the nothing there means there is nothing in the way. There is nothing in the way can become an entry into nothing in the way into seeing different reality in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that can become an entry into a different possibility, into the endlessness.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to abide in the origin, that recognize themselves the origin. And the way it's usually experienced for point four, you know, point four have a sense of being special and they're unique and all of that, which really has to do with identity. And so it is the identity of ego, which is an imitation of the true identity, because the true identity is unique and it is special. And turns out to be, it's unique because it's the only one. Special because it's the source of everything. And we recognize that, and we, in the experience of realization in point four, is not that I am one with my nature. It's more that my nature is what I am. Our identity is replaced by the origin. And if our identity is replaced by our origin, which is at the beginning appears as infinite spaciousness, right? Infinite spaciousness. However, if you explore the infinite spaciousness, what makes the spaciousness be spacious? What is the spaciousness of the infinite spaciousness? Because most teaching talk about infinite spaciousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can inquire into, well, if you have time and you're not busy with your students or with issues, and you have time to kill, and you say, well, what makes spaciousness spacious? You begin to understand something about emptiness that most people don't anticipate, which is it is really not, emptiness means not a matter empty of something. It is empty of any obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And empty of any obstruction is a kind of transparency, which means it is an all-rounded wormhole,
mm-hmm.
meaning it can take you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Any possibility of realization.
That's right.
For me, that was my experiential entry into the endlessness.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, taking the emptiness of the holy origin.
Mm-hmm. This is so beautiful, Hamid. And then, of course, since there is no separation, all of these things really are reflections of each other. And it seems like what you're describing right now with the unobstructed nature also means that it's sort of an entry to the idea of infinite qualities, that you know, there's nothing that can't exist or doesn't exist because there's no obstruction. There's nothing blocking
No obstruction. And one of the ways non-obstructedness can manifest, for instance, non-obstructed means we're not separate from each other, so we're not obstructed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not obstructed from our true nature. That becomes holy origin, right? And but the non-obstructed from each other, if you consider the what holy origin is and bring the depth and the horizontal and the vertical together, then the unobstructedness between you and me becomes the what is called technically interpenetration or interpervasiveness,
mm-hmm.
which means I am in you and you are in me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we are not, it's true we are not separate, but there's some another kind of way of experiencing unity that is not the classical kind of unity, which is
mm-hmm.
you're in me and I'm in you. Not only that, everything is in me and
mm-hmm.
everything is in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way.
Yeah.
So the endlessness revealing this another way of experiencing unity. We just experience unity by no separation, but now is another unity. That
yes.
where the question of separation is simply irrelevant. How do you talk about separation when everything is in everything?
Right, and then every quality is in everything and everyone too.
Tell me that too. Yes.
And
not only that, all qualities are in each one of the qualities.
That's right. So then you come back to infinite potential and infinite generativity.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Hamid,
exactly.
I wish we could go on talking, and we will on some level of reality. We are talking
mm-hmm.
infinitely. I really want to thank you deeply for this logos of your talks that's unfolding each year in the Enneagram Global Summit, and really look forward to
I'm glad I can contribute, and hopefully I said a few things that some people can understand about how some of the point can lead to kind of become an entrance into infinity.
Yes, and I'm going to say something about that in a moment. I just want to also let everybody know that if you want to find an easy access to learn more about Hamid's teachings and work, that there are two websites you can go to. One is AHAlmas, so it's AHAlmas.com, and the other is the Ridwan School, and that's just Ridwan, which is RIDHWAN.org. And, you know, just to say something about your hope for everyone, Hamid, I think, you know, since the time immemorial, since there's no beginning of time, but just throughout time, human beings have been wondering the why and how and true nature of existence. And I do think it is very helpful for us to understand that there are these entry points to those vast and boundless questions. So
And it's nice
yeah.
that the Enneagram provides at least 9 entry points.
That's right. So
yeah.
thank you so much for reading
it. Yeah, you're welcome. I wanted to mention one other thing besides the website, that if people are interested to
mm-hmm.
follow the endlessness, is an online course that I've been giving called Endless Enlightenment, which talks about endlessness and the way we're talking about it. It's called Endless Enlightenment. It's done through Sounds True. So some people might want to pursue it that way.
That's so beautiful.
Okay.
You know, I'm just thinking of Rumi. I also want to say here in ending, Hamid, that I felt very gifted to listen to your description of the workshop where so much love was realized by being present with all the difficulties and the goodness just came through. And
love,
The love, yeah. right. And it reminds
love,
me.
Love is really what comes through. And it is what emerges and also what helps.
Beautiful.
It's both what helps the transition, getting into the difficulties, and what emerges as we work through the difficulties.
Well, it reminded me of a poem by Rumi that says that there is a way of breathing that is a shame and a suffocation, and there is another kind of breath, a love breath, which opens you infinitely. So
that's a good one, yeah.
Yes. So thank you again. I look forward to the next adventure.
Well, good luck, and hopefully everybody will, you know, listen to as many of these interviews as possible to learn the various point of views, since we're talking about many kinds.
Beautiful.
Thank you for joining us for the Enneagram Global Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. To add this powerful collection of teachings to your personal library, visit enneagramglobalsummit.com/upgrade. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and for sharing this empowering path with your friends and family.